This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Dystopical. Dystopical is a debate and a reflection on what matters or what we think should matter to queer women in the community. On tonight's show, this is pretty exciting for us, we're talking to Hope Collins, who is a queer writer and director, and we're going to be talking about queer films, the making of queer movies, and her picks for what's playing at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
And of course, our favourite queer movies of all time.
Something we always say every week is that we can't relate the views of all queer women because it's different for everyone. Everyone has different experiences, backgrounds, ages, etc., etc., etc. So Dystopical will always be from our point of view and our honest point of view. So if you think differently, if your thoughts or experiences are different, or you think things used to be different, or just that our views are ridiculous, then write into the show. You can text us on 0427 JOY 949. That's 0427 569 949. Facebook us at Dystopical, DYSTOPICAL, or email us at dear.dystopical@gmail.com or dystopical@joy.org.au.
And now to a song. And welcome back, folks. We were just listening to Groove Armada, If Everyone Looked the Same, one of my all-time favorite bands, and the Kaiser Chiefs, Learned My Lesson. So Kat Hope, who is in the studio with us today, and I are just talking about queer film since the Melbourne Queer Film Festival is on. And I have some queer all-time favorite films. I don't know about you guys. Hope, do you have any?
I have many. Probably Poison Ivy has to be one of my favourites.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh my God, I'd completely forgotten about that. Is that Drew Barrymore?
It's Drew Barrymore and Sarah Gilbert. Look, I mean, calling it a lesbian film is a stretch, I'll give you that. But at the time I was 16 and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. So I've got to say that's one of my favourite. But I'm actually coming off a ban. My partner bans me from getting any lesbian films at the DVD store.
Because, oh, that's harsh.
Yeah, because generally the quality can be average.
Now, are you talking about Hollywood queer films? Like, are there Hollywood lesbian films out there? Or?
Well, I mean, there's not many, is there? But I think the one that broke the camel's back was possibly The Gymnast. I don't know if you guys...
I haven't seen this.
No. Well, I tell you, it's a corker.
I think ones that define me, I think Hedwig and the Angry Inch came out when I was in my third year of university. That was about 10 years ago or so now. And I think that really sort of inspired me because I love musicals and I love, you know, queer people, and put them all together and I'm a stereotype, I suppose. But I just really, really loved it. And I loved the idea of a movie that was slightly macho but slightly feminine at the same time, much like the character, I guess. And then there were, you know, the usual lesbian favorites, like, what's it called? Go Fish.
Go Fish is
back in the day, chutney popcorn.
Yeah.
but so Hope, you've written and directed a number of films now.
Mm-hmm.
2007, you did Do I Look Gay in This, which I think is a really funny title for a film. And that played in the celluloid casserole package.
Yes.
So it unfolded a world in reverse where gay was a norm and straight was a subculture. And so you were inspired by a question your grandmother asked you?
Yeah. Not that my grandmother, may she rest in peace, ever knew I was gay, but I think she had a bit of an inkling. And once she said to me, Hope, I don't mind that people are gay, but why do they have to dress like that? And I thought, that's a fair question, Nan.
I wonder this all the time.
Yeah, so I guess it sort of tried to answer that. Why is it that we sort of feel the need to really partake in that culture and get really into that style of dress?
And your answers are?
Well, I guess that by not being involved in that, you have to constantly come out. And, you know, as a straight character who was constantly being confused as being gay, and only later in the film did we reveal that the world was in reverse. We thought that the character was obviously in the closet, but then revealed that actually everyone, you know, the norm was to be gay, and he was trying to say, oh, no, actually, and he wouldn't come out to people, so that at the end of the film he dresses like a typical bogan with a Jack Daniels kind of shirt on and footy socks and boots and, you know. So then everyone goes, oh, you know, why do they have to dress like that? I don't mind that they're straight and, you know, that sort of idea, I guess.
And then last first, the film you did in 2009, detailed an evening between two work colleagues, one in a relationship who's flirting with the idea of having an affair, so she's been in a long-term relationship, mm-hmm. struggling with the notion that she may have had her last ever first kiss.
Oh, I know that feeling.
What inspired you to do that? Was that, that like a, you know, art reflecting life type piece?
No, not at all. I've been with my partner for nearly 16 years and in no way. But it was just a lot of our friends were breaking up and I guess I felt like it was to go for greener pastures because they suddenly realised that, oh, hang on, that is the last ever first kiss I'm going to have. That's the last time I'm going to have any of those firsts. But by reliving them, it's just a new set of lasts rather than a new set of firsts was what I was trying to sort of get across.
So you're definitely a half full type
person. I am. And I just think for the friends, just stay together, people, you know? it's much easier.
It gets hard dividing friends and, you know, sharing time.
It's tricky. There was a time we'd all go to holiday houses together and it was lovely and then everyone broke up and, you know.
So really, it's just crappy for the friends when, you know, people break up.
It's the kids who suffer.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So that was your message for that one.
Yes.
Clearly.
Yes.
And this year, you've got another film screening in the shorts package, Sheer. And it's been described as a visual lyrical poem, which just sounds lovely to me. And it's about an elderly woman who watches a young lesbian couple walking past her house, and she reflects on her life and wonders what would things have been like if she was born 30 years later. And what's that about? Tell us more about that.
I guess it's kind of reflecting on the idea of if I was born in a different time, would I hate to say bother being gay. I mean, obviously I'd still be gay, but would I really explore it, or would I just kind of hide and not persist with it? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's just that kind of idea of, I don't know. I don't know if I would. Like, I'm not really that brave a person. I'm not someone who, I guess, you know, can see myself really getting out of there and fighting and being the only one, or I'd like to think I would, but I don't know. And I guess it's sort of looks at that part of yourself and says it's okay, because it's sort of looking at someone who has chosen that path and you know, I guess kind of just exploring that within myself. Oh yeah, deep.
That's so deep.
I know, I'm totally.
I'm going to ask you a really basic question, Hope. And that is, what is queer film? Is it's queerness about content or style or... Like, for you, what makes a film actually queer? Does it have to be made by a queer person?
This is a tricky one, isn't it? I don't know if it's a basic question. I think it's one of the toughest questions going around. I don't think it has to be made by a queer person, but I think it has to have queer content. And it, you know, and
what's queer content? Like a chaste kiss?
No, I just think maybe that it's actually exploring some of the issues. I think just some sort of subtext is a little bit... Like, you know, I wouldn't call Black Swan a queer film.
Mm.
You know, even though there was some, I guess, queer-ish content. Are you with me? Is anyone?
And lesbian sex.
Yeah, but I think it's not really...
In a really twisted way.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know if it's a queer film, though. I think maybe its main theme. What do you think? Its main theme has to be queer.
Okay. Yeah. No, I can live with that.
Yeah. I think...
Or like the central characters are queer. It's about queer lives in some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
So how did you get into the film business?
I
like the answer to this question. Well,
we just decided. A friend said you should make a film for Melbourne Queer Film, because at uni I did do one semester of filmmaking. So he went, you know, why don't you do one? And a bunch of friends said, yes, let's do it. And we got a handycam together and we just made our first one. And then it just kind of went on from there. And it's just very DIY. They don't cost a cent. But, yeah, and I like that idea that I sort of approach it in the same way that I approach music, that I don't really consider myself a musician, but I can write and perform songs.
Ooh, multi-talented.
Other things, yeah.
We'll have to have you on for the queer musicians show.
Yeah, sure.
So you were saying just before that you feel like the overarching thing or the main theme should be a queer one. Are there any particular issues or messages that you are trying to convey in your work?
I guess, this is, yes, interesting. I guess there's not one sort of theme that I like to explore, but I like to sort of try and do things that aren't your typical... issues that have been explored so many times in queer films. So I liked it. Like, I think with Last First, it was really universal, that theme. It was actually more about straight couples that had broken up than gay couples that I knew. But I think by portraying it in that way, that you're actually, you know, still telling queer stories. And I think that's what I liked. Something that you don't go, oh my God, it's so about being queer, but it just is about being queer.
Mm. That's a really good response, actually. And I want to hear more of this, but we're just going to go to a song. And welcome back to Dystopical. So that was you two with I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, Deadly Romantic, that one. And a mashup of Eminem with some clear surprises in there. Kelly Clarkson.
I was shocked.
So, Hope,
mm-hmm.
How supportive do you think our Australian audiences are about queer films, like in terms of the mainstream, you know?
Yeah, I think just in queer audiences in general are so supportive of each other in anything that you do. Mm-hmm. Almost, let's say, should we say too supportive? And I think maybe this is...
What do you mean?
This is possibly worldwide. Well, think of the films that you have seen. I'm thinking Mango Kiss here. If you've ever seen that one, it's a corker. That someone has seen it and gone, that's great. No, it's really good. It's fantastic. I mean, so supportive when really they should have said,
that's,
you know,
a really
what?
Crap film.
Not the best film. I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't make it. But I think that's the thing, that we are so supportive. And I don't think that...
But do you think we kind of have to be supportive? There's no space to, you know, almost be unsupportive because it's unsupported generally. Or is it not unsupported generally? What do you think?
I do think it's unsupported generally, especially like on our television screens, things like that. You know, obviously those kind of mediums, it's totally unsupported. But at the same time, I think if we actually... If they actually told queer stories, that I think the Australian public would support them, don't you? I think they would. I think most people would like to see that sort of thing on their TV screens.
Well, yes, but I'm biased.
Yeah.
Maybe. I actually don't know. I mean, I know, well, I don't know, but I assume that if that kind of stuff was on screen more often, then probably it would become more normalised. So that would be great for us.
Yeah, I do think that. I do think generally Australian audiences are supportive. I don't know. I have a very kind of supportive family who just go, yeah, it's great. Oh, we love that film. My dad was actually in the first film.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, playing a gay man, and he was very convincing. And my dad likes musicals, so I don't know. I mean, my dad is quite gay. But, yeah, so I think generally they are supportive, but they're not given enough opportunities to see queer content.
What do you think, Fran and I have been talking about this, does the recent trend of, you know, girl kisses or token gay characters in mainstream Hollywood films piss you off?
Or do you think it's a good
thing? No, I like it. I can't deny it. I do like it. I mean, I saw Black Swan because, you know, I wanted to see Natalie Portman and the girl from That 70s Show. I can't remember her name. But I do. You know, I think the chance to see it on the screen and...
You're right. It was that girl from That 70s Show. I just realised that. Thank you.
Yeah. And it was hot. We can't deny. It was hot.
Yeah, it was hot.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I also think that you just don't get the quality of production in a, you know, you don't get to see the quality of production, that sort of thing, a lot of the time. And so... Oh, I've got to say I like it. I know, and I'm a fan of the L word. I do like all that kind of stuff. Is it wrong? Should I rethink?
No. I don't think it's wrong. I'm just asking.
And Glee is so gay, and I'm loving it.
But do you think...
Yeah, I do like Glee. I'm trying to get further into it, but it's hard. You know, when you get home, trying to watch a show regularly, I find it difficult.
And that's got gay boys and gay girls.
But do you think this is something that's increasingly happening, that there are more gay characters, or at least gay storylines in straight TV serials or straight movies?
Or just in the mainstream.
In the mainstream, yeah.
I feel like it kind of ebbs and flows. Like, I feel like we went through that time where, like, there was Basic Instinct and Madonna was passing on with someone in the Justify My Love video, and Poison Ivy came out, and there was sort of a bit of a boom in that kind of thing, and then it kind of died off a bit, and I do think now we're seeing it a little bit more, which, hey, I'm all for.
Yeah, I'm all for it as well. So what was your favourite film or queer film growing up, and if you had to name a few, what would they be now?
Oh, not just queer films, films in general.
Generally.
Oh, general films growing up. I think that probably, I mean, when we are talking queer films, I did love Bound too. Not that I was really growing up, I was probably a little bit older, but I, you know, that is one that stands out, that it's well made.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? You go, yes, okay, I like this. And Gina Gershon, come on,
get out. She's really hot.
She's hot. And
I assume your tastes have changed since then. What do you look for in a film now?
I kind of look for something that teaches me something. Oh, that sounds a bit more like, oh, I look for something that teaches me a lesson. But I do, I mean...
Not something that's just, you know, pretty.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I do like pretty, I'll admit.
Shiny.
Yeah, it's true. It's terrible. It's true. Like, I guess one of my favourite films of the recent years is Fight Club.
Mm.
Because I think it taught me a little bit about men, you know? That's what I think... I look for in a film something that I'm going to learn something from, or something that's very pretty. Either one.
Sometimes pretty is just all I need.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, Fight Club, you've got, you know, Lesson and Brad Pitt, and he kind of epitomizes pretty.
Yeah, look, there is some pretty to him. Yeah. There is some pretty. Helena Bonham Carter.
Wouldn't say no to her.
I've been in love with her forever.
Yeah. I think she's the kind of woman, though, that you don't want to have a relationship with her. Do you know what I mean?
No, I just like looking at her.
Yeah, I think she'd be hard
listening
work.
To her talk.
It's like Tori Amos. I'm a big Tori Amos fan, and I often used to think, yes, I could have a relationship with Tori Amos. I was about 17 at the time. But then I thought, no, that's hard work.
If I had a really good therapist, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, what have you gone to see, or what are you going to see for this MQFF? What are your picks?
Okay, well...
Obviously Oz Shorts.
Yeah, obviously. And playing at the same time is Room in Rome. I don't know if you guys... Did you guys see it?
Yeah, no, I read the little blurb on it and I wanted to see it, but it's on at the same time as something else I'm going to.
Yeah.
I, you know, dutifully went and got my strawberry, you know, pass, so I'm going to see five films.
You're going to see Oz Shorts, clearly. But, yeah, I mean, the thing is in Room in Rome, it's a good film, and go and see it if you're not going to see Oz Shorts or it's sold out. But it does have something that I'm not a massive fan of, and that is unequal heights. You know, if you're going to be with a lady at the same height as you. Am I right?
No, you're not right. No, you're actually really wrong.
I think that does not make or break a film.
Oh, no.
In my books.
In reality, I would say, don't care. But I do remember when we were casting for a friend's film recently, looking at comparative head size.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't notice this in normal life.
Can't you make up for it with hair?
No, but you don't notice it in normal life, but people actually have really different size heads.
Yeah.
And when we were looking at people, actors, we were like, but their head sizes won't match.
Yeah.
It will look really weird on screen.
Yeah, I don't just fight for equal rights, I fight for equal heights.
And on that very, very cerebral note, we go to some music. And welcome back to Dystopical, folks. That was The Killers with Human and a bit of a Rihanna mashup, which I'm clearly into today and I'm not exactly sure why.
So this section of the show is called Dear Dystopical. It's it's an agony aunt theme with very little agony, really.
Yeah, we try to keep it pleasant.
It's more of a, you know, a Q&A session. And, of course, we like to utilise the victim that we have on the show to answer questions that are, you know, either people have written in about or that we just really want to know. So, Hope, hi.
Hello.
I would like to ask you.
And please assume your agony aunt column voice now.
Yes.
I'll try. I don't know if I have a good one, but yes.
Here we go. Dear Dystopical, is it hard making films? Where do you get the resources, the time, the money from?
Where do I start?
Yeah, if I wanted to do it, where would I start?
Where do I start?
Ah, it's okay. Don't fear. it's actually very easy to make a film these days. Just borrow equipment from someone, have an idea, write it down, shoot it, and I just think make it as simple as possible. Lighting is very tricky. I don't know how to use it, so I just didn't use it. Shoot it during the day, much easier. And shoot
in a white room.
Yeah. Or shoot it outside. Again, pretty easy. Don't use sound. That's difficult.
Fancy equipment?
Oh, no. No need. No need. Just do a voiceover, much easier. You don't get the wind blowing in your shots. All very difficult. Again, use your friends because then it's good fun. As they act in it, you all have a good time and a beer. And then just edit on a MacBook. Very easy. I just use the normal program that comes on the Mac. Not hard.
What's the program?
I think it's called iMovie. Yes, that's what I did it on. Put it together. Won't take long.
And then you too can be in a film festival.
Exactly.
I feel really empowered. I feel like I'm gonna go out and make myself a film.
You can. Anyone can make a film. It's very simple. They occasionally use when you're filling in the forms, they'll ask you a lot of questions. Like, is it Digi Beta or PAL? Just guess. That's what I did in the end. They said, we need it to be this. Someone will tell you what that is at some point.
Thank you. Thank you for being funny and thank you for being with us today.
I think she meant it.
I did.
You made me lol.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.